The Triathlete's Training Bible has become the definitive resource for serious triathletes worldwide since its first publication over 25 years ago. Author Joe Friel, who began his triathlon journey in 1980 and opened what was likely the world's first triathlon store in 1984, brings decades of coaching experience to this comprehensive guide. The book has undergone significant revisions with each edition, reflecting the rapid evolution of training practices in this relatively young sport. Endorsed by Olympic athletes and age group competitors alike, Friel's methodology has helped countless athletes reach their potential through scientifically grounded, systematically structured training approaches. What makes this book particularly valuable is its adaptability. While designed for serious athletes with at least 3 years of experience, its principles can be scaled to fit various experience levels and competitive goals. Before the first swim stroke, pedal revolution, or running stride, the foundation for triathlon success begins in your mind. Mental fitness isn't just important, it's the most crucial talent for athletic achievement. The greatest limiter you face isn't the countless training miles, but the few inches between your ears. High-performance triathletes share a distinctive can-do attitude, an unwavering belief in their ability to succeed. Their journey begins with ambitious dreams, whether finishing an Ironman, standing on a podium, or qualifying for a world championship. These aren't mere wishes. They're the fuel that powers dedicated training through inevitable challenges. Consider Ryan Bolton, a former All-American distance runner who approached Friel in 1997 with an Olympic dream. Despite setbacks that dropped his world ranking from 25th to 75th, Bolton's patience and confidence carried him through. His determination culminated in a dramatic come-from-behind qualification for the 2000 Sydney Olympics, followed by winning the 2002 Ironman U.S. Championship. This mental toughness combines three critical elements: commitment, confidence, and patience. Commitment means continuing what you started long after the initial motivation fades. It requires making your mission the center of your life, optimizing not just workouts, but eating, sleeping, and securing support from family and friends. It's a 24/7, 365 dedication. Confidence must be deliberately cultivated through daily practices. Create a success savings account by identifying one training success each day before sleep, depositing only positive experiences to withdraw during moments of doubt. Additionally, fake it till you make it, by adopting confident posture and demeanor even when you don't feel it. Standing tall, making eye contact, staying calm. Research shows that physically embodying confidence actually generates genuine self-belief. Patience completes the mental toughness trinity. Triathlon success requires months and years of consistent work, not hours and days. This patience manifests in workouts and races through proper pacing, controlling emotions early to finish strong. Without patience, you're doomed to struggle regardless of physical preparation. Building a support team amplifies your chances of success while elevating motivation. This team should include family, friends, training partners, and professionals like coaches, physical therapists, and sports medicine doctors. The higher your goals, the more valuable this team becomes. Surround yourself exclusively with positive, supportive people who believe in you. Their confidence becomes your confidence. Understanding your triathlon potential requires honest assessment of your past training. If you followed challenging, structured programs without missing workouts, you're likely approaching your potential. However, most athletes have significant room for improvement through more purposeful training. The most effective training philosophy isn't more is better, but rather consistent is better. Highly motivated athletes often overtrain by working too frequently, too long, and too intensely. The secret is moderation, seldom exploring your physical limits. One athlete's first 22 training weeks featured excessive loads, resulting in extreme fatigue, injury, and minimal progress. After implementing more moderate workouts, the athlete achieved consistent training and marked improvement. Moderate training means doing workouts you know you can complete because you've done something similar recently, within 10% of duration or intensity. A moderate workout allows recovery within 48 hours for your next demanding session. While occasional limit testing workouts have their place, they must be strategically timed and infrequent. Purposeful training follows a proven four-step process. 1. Clear goal. Every workout needs a specific purpose, whether it's run 20 minutes at zone 4 for muscular endurance or ride easy in zone 1 for recovery. 2. Expert instruction. Your daily workout purposes should follow a pattern leading from current fitness to your season's goal, requiring expert guidance from a coach, mentor, or yourself if sufficiently knowledgeable. 3. Specific practice. Everything you do must focus on executing the session as planned. While making a workout easier is acceptable if you're not ready, making it harder requires consulting your expert first. 4. Immediate feedback. The sooner you receive feedback on technique or execution, the better your progress. Self-coached athletes must stay mentally engaged, analyzing what's happening in real time. Technology plays a crucial role in measuring training variables. While duration is easily tracked with a clock, measuring intensity accurately requires sophisticated tools. Heart rate monitors, GPS devices for running, and power meters for cycling have become essential for serious triathletes seeking high performance. These devices eliminate reliance on memory and guesswork, answering crucial questions about improvement, fitness comparison, and race-specific pacing. Training for triathlon ultimately involves manipulating just three variables: frequency, how often, duration, how long, and intensity, how hard. While novices should focus primarily on frequency and intermediates on duration, experienced athletes must master intensity to continue improving. Intensity can be measured four ways: rating of perceived exertion, RPE, pace, heart rate, and power. RPE uses a 0-10 scale, where 0 means no exercise and 10 represents maximum effort. Though subjective, this skill improves with practice. Pace has been the traditional measure in swimming and running, while power meters have revolutionized cycling training by providing precise workload measurement regardless of conditions. Heart rate measures effort, not performance. The last finisher can have the same average heart rate as the winner. It's essentially an objective version of RPE, telling you how hard your body is working rather than your actual performance. Setting accurate training zones requires sport-specific testing rather than relying on age-based formulas. Field testing allows you to establish functional threshold heart rates, functional threshold power, FTPO, and functional threshold pace, FTPA. For swimming, perform a 1,000-meter time trial at race effort. For biking and running, complete a 20-minute field test at maximum sustainable effort, then subtract 5% from your average heart rate to determine FTHR, subtract 5% from average power for FTPO, or add 5% to average pace for FTPA. When using both heart rate and power/pace metrics simultaneously, the zones won't always align perfectly. This discrepancy is actually beneficial. Heart rate zones remain relatively constant throughout a season, while power and pace zones change significantly as fitness improves. As you get fitter, you can generate more power or run faster at the same heart rate. This is how progress is measured. It never gets easier, you simply go faster. Sports scientists debate how training time should be distributed across intensity zones. Polarized training emphasizes mostly easy work, zones 1 to 2, combined with occasional hard efforts, zones 4 to 5, while minimizing zone 3. For triathletes, this approach generally works well, though race preparation may require more pyramidal distribution depending on race distance. Starting a new training season requires a systematic approach regardless of your experience level. This process includes evaluating equipment, addressing injuries, establishing fitness benchmarks, and setting appropriate goals. The foundation begins with dreams that evolve into achievable goals, but success depends on careful planning and methodical execution. Effective goal setting balances ambition with realism. Season goals should be performance outcomes, what you want to achieve in races, rather than training milestones. For example, targeting a sub-5-hour Ironman 70.3 or achieving a specific time in an Olympic distance triathlon. Goals should be well-defined, measurable, and realistic, yet challenging. Time-based goals are preferable to placement goals, since you can't control who shows up on race day. Consider breaking down your season into A, B, and C races with corresponding priority levels for each. Training objectives are the short-term sub-goals that help achieve your season goals. They address the limiters standing between you and your goal, like improving bike threshold power or swim technique. For instance, if your limiter is swimming efficiency, objectives might include mastering bilateral breathing, reducing stroke count per length, or achieving specific CSS, critical swim speed, targets. Every workout must have a specific purpose that moves you closer to these objectives, whether that's improving power, technique, or recovery. This might mean dedicating specific sessions to drills, intensity work, or endurance building. Before beginning training, comprehensive assessment is essential. A physical therapist should evaluate posture, strength, joint mobility, and structural asymmetries to determine injury risk. This includes functional movement screening, range of motion tests, and strength assessments for key muscle groups. Mental readiness should be honestly evaluated through a skills profile, covering motivation, confidence, and visualization abilities. Regular fitness testing establishes baseline measures and training zones, with both clinical and field tests serving as valuable markers of progress. These might include VO2 max testing, lactate threshold assessment, or field tests like the critical power test for cycling. Proper equipment preparation dramatically improves success potential. Swimming performance depends primarily on technique rather than fitness, making regular feedback critical. Consider videotaping sessions, working with a coach, or using tools like tempo trainers and pull buoys. The bike is crucial to triathlon success, accounting for half of race time, so professional fitting is essential every season. This includes detailed measurements, power meter calibration, and ensuring optimal positioning for both performance and comfort. For running, proper shoes that fit your unique mechanics are vital, purchased from knowledgeable running stores. Consider gait analysis and regular shoe rotation to prevent injury and maintain optimal performance. Creating a structured training environment is equally important. This includes identifying available training facilities, establishing a consistent schedule that accommodates work and family commitments, and building a support network of training partners, coaches, and healthcare providers. Regular monitoring through training logs, heart rate variability, and perceived effort helps ensure progress while preventing overtraining. Fitness in triathlon means race readiness, your ability to perform at your potential. The three fundamental markers are aerobic capacity, lactate threshold, and economy. Aerobic capacity, VO2 max, is determined largely by stroke volume, how much blood your heart pumps per beat. Two primary methods improve this: extensive zone 2 training that makes the heart more efficient, and high-intensity intervals at zones 4-5 that challenge the heart to pump against resistance. While genetics set your upper limit, proper training can take you very close to your potential maximum. Lactate threshold, LT2, may be more trainable than aerobic capacity, especially for experienced athletes. It represents the intensity at which you begin breathing heavily, about a 6 on a 110 RPE scale, which most well-conditioned triathletes can sustain for about an hour. The higher your lactate threshold as a percentage of your aerobic capacity, the faster you'll perform in all three disciplines. Each sport has its own specific lactate threshold, which is why sport-specific training is essential. Economy measures how efficiently you use oxygen while exercising, essentially your body's miles per gallon rating. While some economy factors are genetic, body proportions, muscle fiber composition, technique is the most controllable aspect. Improving skills initially decreases economy as you adapt, but eventually leads to using less oxygen at the same pace. Other ways to enhance economy include reducing body weight, using lighter equipment, improving aerodynamics, and sport-specific flexibility. All triathlon workouts can be organized into six categories called abilities, which relate to the three markers of fitness. These include three basic abilities, aerobic endurance, muscular force, and speed skills that form the foundation, and three advanced abilities, muscular endurance, aerobic capacity, and sprint power. A limiter is a goal-specific weakness that stands between you and successful race performance. Not all weaknesses are limiters. They only become limiters when they're mismatched with the demands of your target event. Typically, one or two of the three triathlon sports will be limiters for any athlete. For novice triathletes, basic abilities are typically the limiters, while experienced athletes more commonly struggle with advanced abilities. To maximize your potential, you must identify and improve your limiters while maintaining your strengths. Different race distances demand different abilities. Ironman races require tremendous aerobic endurance. Sprint races need greater aerobic capacity, and muscular endurance is critical across all triathlon distances. Creating a written training plan is one of the most important steps for performance improvement outside of actual training. Many athletes train myopically, focusing only on today's workout without considering how it builds toward race readiness. Periodization's power comes from accepting that you can't be race ready year-round. By targeting just one or two peak races annually, you can achieve breakthrough performances when it matters most. This approach has evolved continuously, with refinements and new concepts emerging regularly. Effective training requires embracing two fundamental concepts. First, fitness development must be gradual and natural. Your body can't be forced to improve on an artificial schedule. This demands flexibility in your plan, making daily adjustments based on how you're feeling rather than rigidly following a predetermined schedule. Second, training must progressively become more race-specific as your event approaches. Early season workouts should differ significantly from race conditions, but as race day nears, key sessions should increasingly simulate race demands, matching target pace, terrain, conditions, and intensity. Creating an annual training plan, ATP, provides a dynamic guide for the season. The ATP development follows six steps: establishing season goals, determining training objectives, setting annual training volume, prioritizing races, dividing the season into periods, and estimating weekly volume. After recording all planned races on the annual training plan, athletes should assign each a priority level, A, B, or C. A priority races, maximum three per season, are the most important events requiring a 1 to 2 week peak period before race week. B priority races, maximum five, are secondary events requiring reduced training 2 to 3 days before. C priority races are unlimited and treated as workouts or tests with no special preparation. Periodizing the season requires dividing training into sub-periods based on recovery needs and age. Athletes over 50 typically need more frequent recovery breaks, 3 week cycles, than younger athletes, 4 week cycles. Each sub-period has specific purposes. Prep, 1 to 4 weeks, develops general athleticism. Base periods, 1 to 3, progressively build aerobic endurance and introduce muscular endurance. Build periods focus on race-specific abilities. Peak, 1 to 2 weeks, simulates race conditions. Race week includes short intervals and rest, and transition provides recovery after races. Once you've determined which abilities to train each week, you'll need to design specific weekly routines for each training period. These routines should remain as consistent as possible throughout the season, with only minor adjustments when transitioning between periods. Your body and mind benefit from continuity in training. A good approach is the polarized or 80-20 training distribution, which can be simplified as 5-2 training. 5 easy days, zones 1 through 2, and 2 hard days, zones 4 to 5, weekly. Start by scheduling anchor workouts, sessions tied to specific days and times like master swim sessions or group rides, and build other sessions around them. Next, schedule your breakthrough workouts, the stressful sessions that produce greater fitness gains, ensuring you're properly rested before them and can recover afterward. While base and build periods comprise the majority of your training year, peak and race periods require different structures in the final weeks before A priority races. The key is balancing intensity and rest, reducing fatigue gradually while maintaining fitness and increasing form. Starting 2 to 3 weeks out, incorporate race intensity workouts every third day that simulate race conditions, making them progressively shorter as you approach race day. Weekly volume should drop 30 to 50% each week. Recovery days between hard sessions are crucial for reducing fatigue while elevating form. Race week requires even more emphasis on rest, with just 3 to 4 workouts containing short 90-second intervals at race-specific intensities. The easiest day should be 2 days before the race, with a very brief race simulation workout the day before. The optimal distribution of training volume depends on your experience level. Novice athletes should focus on frequency of workouts, intermediates should emphasize duration, and advanced athletes need to focus on intensity, specifically training at paces relevant to their goal events. Breaking down weekly training volume into daily workouts requires careful planning. To distribute training volume across swimming, biking, running, and weightlifting, start by analyzing your expected race time distribution. For most triathletes, race time breaks down to roughly 10% swimming, 50% biking, and 40% running. You might adjust this distribution by shifting some volume from your strongest sport to your weakest. Training isn't simply about accumulating hours or distance. It's the sophisticated interplay of stress and recovery. Like a neutron and proton, one without the other creates instability. Both elements are necessary, and they must exist in balance. The risk-reward curve shows that low-risk training, short, slow, low-effort sessions, produces low rewards, while high-risk training, long durations, high intensities, high density, offers high rewards but also greater potential for breakdown. Running carries the highest risk among triathlon disciplines due to orthopedic stress, while swimming typically presents the lowest risk, with cycling falling in between. Most triathletes misunderstand overtraining, casually claiming they're overtrained after just a few hard days when they're merely tired. True overtraining is a serious medical disorder that few athletes ever experience. The key to high-performance training is overreaching, flirting with overtraining without crossing the line. While overtraining produces symptoms that persist despite rest, overreaching fatigue dissipates after a few days of recovery. Rest and recovery are not just preventative measures against breakdown, they actively drive fitness gains. Hard training creates only the potential for fitness. It's during recovery that your body adapts and grows stronger. Determining when you're doing too much requires vigilant self-monitoring through morning warnings, signals that appear upon awakening that collectively suggest your body needs a break. Heart rate variability, HRV, stands as one of the most reliable indicators of training readiness. Contrary to common belief, heartbeat rhythm isn't constant but varies between beats under nervous system control. Measuring HRV effectively captures how your body is handling all forms of stress, whether from training or other life aspects. Your bed is the world's most effective recovery device. Sleep's primary purpose is rejuvenating and rebuilding your muscular, skeletal, and immune systems. Going to bed earlier and sleeping until you wake naturally will improve training, performance, health, and attitude. You can't catch up on weekends. Your body needs consistent sleep. Food is second only to sleep for effective recovery. The closer food is to its natural state and the less processed, the better for recovery. Processed sports products and supplements can't match real food's micronutrient density despite scientific claims. Nutrient-dense whole foods like fruits, vegetables, animal products, berries, nuts, and seeds support training goals at lower cost than processed alternatives. The body adapts to hard workouts specifically through rest and recovery. This is when physiological improvements actually occur. During recovery, muscle strength and endurance improve, heart stroke volume increases, capillary beds expand, blood volume rises, aerobic enzymes increase, and glycogen stores replenish. The biggest training mistake is continuing hard training through planned recovery weeks or making easy days too difficult. Of the five key physical abilities needed for high-performance racing, speed skills are most commonly neglected by triathletes. While many athletes perform swim drills, they often don't understand their purpose or execute them properly. Most triathletes fail to work on cycling and running skills, mistakenly believing these sports require little technique. Economy is one of the three physiological determiners of fitness. While body proportions affect economy, movement skill is the most adaptable factor. Poor movement skills waste oxygen and fuel, forcing athletes to consume more energy during races and increasing the risk of digestive problems, especially critical in longer races. For most triathletes, swimming improvement comes primarily through better technique rather than fitness. The focus should be on four essential skills, collectively called PDLC: posture, direction, length, and catch. Mastering these four fundamentals in sequence will produce greater improvements than obsessing over minor details. Cycling is the least skill-oriented of the three triathlon sports, but mastering four key skills, pedaling, cornering, climbing, and descending, remains important. A proper bike fit is the PDLC equivalent for cycling and should be done annually during base one period. Riding off-road on mountain or cyclocross bikes during prep and base one periods dramatically improves bike handling skills. Running falls between swimming and cycling in skill importance. One critical skill produces significant performance gains: foot placement. The most efficient runners place their feet nearly parallel to the ground at contact, with the heel striking just slightly before or simultaneously with the ball of the foot. While cardiovascular fitness is essential, ultimately, muscle generates speed. Research consistently shows improved muscular force increases speed at all exertion levels while enhancing economy. Weight training extends beyond what endurance training alone can develop, increasing power and improving efficiency. Research shows weight training reduces injury risk by approximately 50%, far more effective than stretching. The training diary is the most beneficial tool for performance improvement beyond actual training. Unlike a simple log that merely records data, a diary captures your reactions, thoughts, conclusions, and questions. It enables planning, workout recall, confidence building, and accountability, functioning much like a good coach. Despite the complex training details presented throughout the book, effective training should be kept simple. Most workouts should be in zones 1 and 2, easy intensity, with only 2 hard days per week in zones 4 and 5. Zone 3 should be avoided during base periods and used sparingly in build periods. Workouts should gradually become more race-specific as race day approaches, followed by reduced training in the peak and race periods.